you. Yeah, you flipping through the radio channels, the radio frequency stations, whatever you want to call them. Welcome to 1180 WFILs. It's a new day. Mike Levin's here. And you want to keep that dial right there because we are in our spotlight segment today where we talk about local business, ministry, organization. In this case, we've got an event for you that you're going to want to hear about. I've got joining me on the phone, David Long, a little something called Restoration America 2015. And it all has to do with Christianity, with one of the biggest issues our nation has ever faced in its history. David, how you doing this morning?
Michael, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you this morning. And we always love highlighting local events or businesses, people who are getting involved in our community. That's part of what we do as a station. So it's a pleasure to have you on the air this morning.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so what is Restoration America 2015? What is this issue that you are going to be honing in on so much for Christians?
Yeah. Restoration America 2015 is actually a weekend-long series of events culminating with a grand event on Sunday, July 5th. These are all July 3rd, 4th, and 5th, held right there in Philadelphia. The event on the 5th will be a solemn assembly of prayer at noon, right on Independence, in front of Independence Hall there. And from noon till 3:30-ish, we will be having a number of local leaders, regional leaders, some state leaders, and some national leaders, Christian leaders, praying short prayers and short comments. And the undergird, and I'll go back and talk about the other parts of the weekend, but that event, the undergirding theme of that event is repentance prayers relative to the abortion issue in our country. We believe that when innocent blood is shed in the land, that blood literally grows into the ground and in the spirit cries out to God for justice. If there's no factor in the earth that is bringing that justice, then God intervenes and he brings justice in the land. So when you look across America right now, and there's a lot of problems, there's a lot of things going poorly, and the nation is vulnerable and it's destabilized. And people, particularly Christians, they're scratching their head and saying, what's unfolding here? We believe that it's judgment unfold, and we believe it is primarily relative to the shedding of innocent blood, but we also bring a message of hope. The reason that our ministry is called 10 Good Men, it's based on the imagery of God and Abraham overlooking the valley of Sodom and Gomorrah there on the eve before its destruction. And what they were looking for, they're certainly looking to confirm the unrighteousness there, but Abraham became an advocate for God's mercy literally on the eve before their destruction, because he had family there, because he had that relational connection, if you will, to the culture. So he negotiated with God, and they ended up concluding that if they found 10 righteous, that God would spare the city and essentially give those 10 righteous time to turn things around. So the ministry of 10 Good Men carries that vision, carries that message. We believe we are in the coming down the home stretch years towards a point of very difficult judgment for this country. We also believe that in all the cities in America, there are many more than 10 righteous men and women, and that our job as a ministry is to get the message out that we as Christians need to repent of our apathy towards abortion and move out into the culture from the pro-life position and begin to re-engage the culture. So Friday and Saturday, we're going to be doing, particularly Friday afternoon and Friday evening, July 3rd, right there in Philadelphia, just blocks from Independence Mall and Independence Hall. We're going to be doing a training called Operation Ground Zero Friday afternoon and into Friday evening that Christians can take back to their cities all across America to begin to, starting with a more active role in the pro-life movement, they can begin to re-engage their culture on all the fronts. And Saturday,
there
just to finish giving the overview, Michael, just this Saturday morning we'll be praying at two different abortion clinics. Saturday afternoon will be a time of free time for sightseeing, and then again Sunday from noon to 3 is the solemn assembly.
Now, there is no cost for this, of course, correct?
Correct. There's no cost for the training. There's no cost for any of the events. We do encourage Christians to go to our website and register. It's not required, but we encourage so we can stay in touch after the event. and help encourage and support them, you know, with further training.
So you feel that what's unfolding in America, with all the problems we're having, is actually a judgment of God because of abortion? That's what you would put forward.
Yeah, and it's an idea that many Christians haven't considered. I mean, some people are saying, okay, maybe judgment is unfolding in America. Some think it's because of homosexuality, because they look at Sodom and Gomorrah and say, well, that was the problem. Really, the Apostle Paul teaches in Romans that homosexuality emerging in a culture is a final fruit of other issues, underlying issues. It's a final signal that the nation may be coming close to judgment. But if you go back in all the cultures of the Old Testament, you'll see that the underlying issue was human child sacrifice. And Isaiah 1 being kind of the centerpiece of the Old Testament story of judgment on Israel, what God said is, listen, people, stop all your new moon Sabbath, stop all your religion, stop even praying to me, because I'm going to cover my ears, I'm going to cover my eyes, because your hands are covered with blood. And that's the famous scripture about in the middle of Isaiah 1 where he says, come, let us reason together, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be made white as snow. People think that's a modern-day salvific verse. It really is a verse calling a nation to repentance, that in their 11th hour, right before their judgment, and they did not repent, by the way, but in their 11th hour, God was still extending the hand of mercy, because in their situation, all around the city in Israel, they had allowed in the human sacrifice to the gods Chemosh, Moloch, the Ashtaroth, so forth, Baal, and they had allowed it into their community, into their city, into their nation. And God said, you need to remove this from your land or judgment will come. So it's not so much the sins of the culture right now that we're focused on as a ministry. We're calling to the church to repent of apathy. You know, when Daniel prayed his famous 21-day fasting and prayer time, he said that he prayed for the repentance of his sins and the sins of his people. So we're calling the church to start with humility on our part. What is the sin of the modern-day church? It's apathy towards the culture, and it's epitomized in abortion. So and if when Solomon...
Real quick, what I would remind listeners of, and I've talked about this on the air, people ask the question whether or not America is beyond hope, whether we should do something about it or we shouldn't do something about it, where do we think America is right now? And it's important for them to know, and it's important for me to remind myself that what you just said in referring to that scripture, that God always extends the hand of forgiveness and mercy to us.
Yes, he does.
Always.
Yes, he does.
So as we talk about these different issues and as we stand up for what's right, just remember that that hand will always be extended. Even if tragedy strikes, I think that's important for us to remind ourselves as listeners here today. Now, why would you be holding this event? This is a question I have. Why would you be holding this event in Philadelphia? And why not in like DC? That's where a lot of these kinds of events are held.
Absolutely. Well, Philadelphia, as your listeners know, perhaps more than many other of us remember in different parts of the country, Philadelphia is the birthplace of America. And literally in that building in behind where we'll be praying that Sunday is the literal birthplace. You could think of it as the birthing suite of America and the Declaration of Independence being essentially our birth certificate. So we're calling Christians back to remember the sacrifice that the Founding Fathers made to purchase and birth this nation, and we're also calling them to remember the Christian worldview that they had. And so part of what we'd be doing in that training, for instance, Friday afternoon and evening, is causing Christians to wrestle with how our worldview as Christians today has changed from that of the Founding Fathers. Exhibit A, for instance, the Christians basically wrote the Constitution. Over 73% of the Founding Fathers were born again, conservative Christians, go to church, read their Bible, call upon the name of the Lord. They wrote the Constitution. What are we doing today in this nation to steward it? Are we running for public office? Are we judges? Are we legislators? Are we county executives? Are we involved in that political process at all? And that's just one of many spheres.
So those Friday training sessions, they're really to help Christians know what kind of worldview they're dealing with and how to answer, basically give an answer for their faith. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah. You know, as you said a minute ago, Michael, that you're trying to remind your listeners week to week, you know, where is the nation at? Is it judgment and what's God's mercy role in all of that? If Christians in your city want to know how we could bring this nation back one city at a time, that training, what we call Operation Ground Zero, and we call it that because we believe that this is the starting point, repenting of our apathy towards the shedding of innocent blood, but moving out from there, not just a reinvigorated for life movement, but moving out from there into the political sphere, into education. So if your listeners want to know, and it's a free training starting at 3 o'clock Friday afternoon, the 3rd of July, they want to know how to play a role, regardless of their place in life. They could be a homemaker, they could be a businessman, they could be a school teacher. That will give them a lot of answers, a lot of practical tools for playing their role in reengaging and seeking restoration in America.
Well, we're going to head to a break here, but we're going to, I have a couple more questions I want to ask you, because I've got, you were talking about the church needing to repent of apathy toward abortion. I want to ask you about that in particular, because the church has been involved in a lot of ways, so I want to see what you mean by that. But we'll continue the conversation here with David Long about Restoration America 2015. Sounds like it's going to be a really good event, especially if you want to get trained on how to be able to answer the abortion advocates in your city.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. It seems that just about every day now, there's another story in the news that gives evidence that there are greater challenges happening to our religious liberty all across America. One example: an enlisted Marine corporal was court-martialed for displaying a Bible verse on her desktop computer, something she was told by her superiors is an affront to, quote, good order and discipline. Unbelievable. Another example is the case of Atlanta Fire Chief Kelvin Cochran, fired from his post for writing a men's Bible study book that a member of city council took offense to. Chief Cochran will be speaking in Lancaster this Thursday night at Lancaster Bible College, and if you're interested in hearing his compelling story, give Dan a call at our office at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family, preserve the future. You can follow Michael Gear online at Twitter and Facebook, or stay up to date on our website at pafamily.org.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which established the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Veterans, WFYL is pleased to participate in Greater Harleysville and North Penn Senior Services Veterans Expo. Stop by our table on Wednesday, June 10th from 9 to 1 p.m. Vets, make sure you are aware of the benefits you have earned. Find out about available resources, vision screenings offered, light refreshments available. Located at Encore Experiences Harleysville Senior Center. Call 215-256-6900 for more information.
Whoa, now. Whoa, 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 now. Where are you going? Stay right there. You're on 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. Now, I know a lot of people out of spite just went ahead and changed the dial just because of that, but I just think that's funny. Mike Levin's here. You can call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. We have on the phone with us, continuing the conversation today, David Long, who is with Restoration America 2015, addressing the issue of abortion in our nation. And David, you were saying some interesting things as to why you think our nation is at the point where it is today. You would actually link everything, which I want to hear you explain a little bit more of this, because I'm curious as well. You would link all of our problems to abortion in particular, and you say that you have scriptural basis for that. Explain.
Yes, when you go all the way back to the beginning of the history of mankind and Cain killing Abel, the Bible teaches that Abel's blood cried out from the ground to the heavens for justice. Well, if that's true in just the situation of one murder, and it's considered innocent blood because no judicial factor on the earth was willing to bring justice to it. In other words, Adam literally was not willing to be the judge in that situation. So God has to intervene. And when you look at the history of the Old Testament, most of the pagan cultures, and eventually even Israel itself, adopted some form of shedding of innocent blood on a massive scale through ancient child sacrifice rituals to various gods. In our situation, in the modern world, we've just pushed the envelope back from afterbirth to before birth through the technology of abortion. So we have the innocent blood in our case of almost 60 million unborn children crying out to God for justice. There's no way around that biblical principle. And I didn't mention earlier, but historically in our nation, this has already happened once when Abraham Lincoln, in his second inaugural address, declared that the Civil War was actually a judgment of God for the shedding of innocent blood through the act of slavery. And he said it would not be over. The Civil War would not come to an end until God decided that that judgment had gone far enough. Well, this is on a much larger scale because the amount of innocent blood shed through abortion. However, as you said, there's always the option of repentance. The cross we often think of today as just for personal forgiveness of sins, but actually the nations can be forgiven of sins, and that's what God was saying in Isaiah 1.
And so we see that time and time again in the Old Testament where a prophet is talking to a nation, calling it out for its sin or even for its repentance. I mean, we could even look at Jonah when he went to Nineveh, and Nineveh as a nation repented. So that is certainly a possibility there. Now, but I want to ask, why do you think the church needs to repent of apathy? Because you would think that, well, this is an issue that our nation is perpetuating. Why is the church responsible, and why do we need to repent of apathy towards abortion? Explain that.
So on the day that Solomon dedicated the temple, so at kind of the beginning of that new chapter, God spoke to Solomon. He said, listen, if things go wrong in the culture, it's a judgment. And what you do at that point is, and this is the famous 2 Chronicles 7:14 verse, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. So the point is that the church within this culture has to examine itself. What are the sins of the church? And I would suggest to Christians listening that abortion, our current lackadaisical response to abortion, is really the epitomization of our apathy towards the culture. Now, we get all exercised the same-sex marriage debate and all these other things, but in all of our cities, and this is kind of a tough early morning discussion here, but in all our cities, they're literally killing people. We know where, we know why, we know how, we know when, and we're not there. We don't shed a tear over it. We're not spending hardly any money to stop it. The least that we should be doing in all our cities to show our humility and repentance towards this is a prayer presence at every abortion center in America, every hour it's open, and also to bring into that picture sidewalk counselors to reach out to the women. If a woman goes into a killing center in this country to have her unborn child murdered on that day, and we're not there offering help, hope, and healing, then we're really saying we're condoning it by our absence. And we drive by these killing centers on the way to church, on the way to work, on the way to the grocery store, and we don't shed a tear. We're not even in prayer over it. So we're suggesting that the church has made peace with a horrific shedding of innocent blood, and we don't want to think about it. And I don't either. I understand, but we have to. It's happening, and I believe that if the church would repent of its apathy and engage this front, that God would bring abortion to an end, and I believe God will, but it has to be the rising up of the church through help and hope to those who are seeking abortion and through prayer at the abortion clinics. And then we could move out from there into other areas of the culture that also need our service, all the areas of culture.
Now, the most publicized thing that Christians have done at abortion clinics is basically mass prayer, and you're going to be doing that as well on Sunday.
Actually, Saturday morning we'll be praying at the abortion clinic. So again, Friday afternoon and evening will be some seminar training. Saturday morning at 10, we'll be gathering at 2 Philadelphia area abortion clinics for quiet, you know, peaceful prayer. And then Sunday on the mall there in front of Independence Hall will be the solemn assembly of prayer and leaders sharing.
And then, okay, so the prayer is on Saturday. The solemn assembly is on July 5th. Now, that's a Sunday. So why didn't you hold that on Saturday, July 4th, if you're going to be doing a solemn assembly, especially for our nation? That would seem to go really well hand in hand.
Yes, and actually we wanted to originally do this. It got pushed to the 5th. The mall there is reserved every 4th by the city of Philadelphia, so we got pushed to the 5th, and we were kind of disappointed initially, but then I really felt the Lord spoke to us as a ministry and said, you know, that was his divine intervention, because the founding fathers did what they did on the 4th. The question is, what are modern Christians doing on the 5th, the day after the Declaration was signed? What are we doing to steward that Declaration, to steward the Constitution, to steward the sacrifices that the founding fathers made? And the other importance of the 5th is it kind of runs in conflict with Sunday services. And so I have a video to clergy on YouTube, and the thing I'm asking all the clergy on the East Coast to prayerfully consider is close down your service, rent buses, bring your congregation and hold church with us at noon on the mall in front of Independence Hall, Sunday, July 5th. Shut down your service. Come. And we're asking all the cities on the Eastern Seaboard, send one pastor, the most pro-life active pastor in your city, to have that 2 or 3 minute slot where they can share for a moment and pray and ask God to show mercy to the church and mercy to the nation.
Now, what do you hope will come out of this event?
You know, so if God had found 10 when he and Abraham were talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, if he had, and the judgment was scheduled for the next day, if God had found 10, what would they look like and what would they do? This is what I'm hoping for, that Christians will see what God was looking for. There's two characteristics that he was looking for in the 10, and Lot embodied them both. First, he was vexed in spirit, the scriptures say. It means he was so deep, he did not make peace with the trouble that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. He was vexed day and night. Secondly, he was willing to engage the culture. And so when the angels came and the men of the city were going to attack them, he intervened. He literally stepped out, knowing he was risking his life and would have probably perished had they not pulled him back in. So he was vexed of spirit. He was willing to engage the culture. We're hoping that this event will spark a movement that people will take back to various cities around the country where they will have those two characteristics going on, where they'll be vexed in spirit and they'll be willing to engage the culture, now, and that we can connect with them and help them understand how to do that.
David, we've got about a minute. How can people find out more information and attend this event?
Sure.
This is going to be Sunday, July 5th, the Solemn Assembly at noon, but this starts on Friday. So how can they get
Correct.
More info?
All the information is at our website, Michael, and that address is 10goodmen.com, and 10 is spelled out, T-E-N, goodmen.com. That's the easiest way, is just to go to 10goodmen.com, and our phone number is listed there and so forth if they need
okay.
to contact us. So
that's
all are
10, T-E-N, goodmen.com. David Bewright, who's co-founder of 40 Days to Life, will be at this event, speaking at the Solemn Assembly, no less. So he's a huge keynote speaker. So go ahead and come out and join the fight for life. Thank you so much, David, for joining us. We've got to head to a break. We'll be back. We've got your daily facepalm coming up next.
WFYL. Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. An arrest in Everett, Massachusetts, hours after another suspect was shot and killed under investigation for terrorism in Boston. Police say Usama Rahim pulled a knife on a cop and an FBI agent.
It appears that the law enforcement officers were backing away before they exercised deadly force.
Boston Police Commissioner William Evans, Rahim was under surveillance, suspected of planning an attack on law enforcement. The man arrested later, David Wright, is due in court today. Now on the International Police Agency Interpol's most wanted list, two former soccer officials and four corporate executives.
This after FIFA's president, Sepp Blatter, announced he will step down after a number of officials, including those Interpol suspects, were hit with US corruption charges linked to alleged bribes totaling more than $150 million.
Fox News Radio's Simon Owen. Fox News. We report. You decide.
Our daily lives are a series of choices. Each day, we choose how we will spend our time, our treasure, and our talents. Rather than spending, wouldn't it be better to invest our time, talents, and resources?
These choices will never earn our way into heaven, but our day-to-day choices can have a significant and long-lasting impact on our lives, our families, our churches, and the advancement of His kingdom. I'm Doug Floro, President and Certified Financial Planner at MFB Wealth Management. It is our company goal to serve others by using our gifts and talents every day to help you be a wise steward of God's provision.
If you need discernment with your retirement and inheritance planning, call MFB Wealth Management 215-723-8999.
MFB Wealth Management 215-723-8999 on the web at mfbwm.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA SIPC.
This is Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, and I want to invite you to listen to our new daily live call-in program, Stand in the Gap Today, each Monday through Friday at noon, right here on WFYL. There's never a shortage of topics surrounding how our faith and freedom are being attacked on every front. This program will equip Christians to stand up for truth and to impact our culture for Christ rather than just being an idle bystander. Join this battle for truth and listen to Stand in the Gap Today every Monday through Friday at noon, right here on WFYL.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The Dutch hoped there existed a water route across America to the Pacific, and they sent Henry Hudson to find it. Although he was unsuccessful, he did lay claim to the land along the Hudson River, so named for him. There, the Dutch West India Company founded the colony of New Netherlands, receiving their charter this day, June 3, 1621. The Dutch leader, called the Staten General, after which Staten Island was named, gave the regulation, "Colonists shall, by their Christian life and conduct, lead Indians to the knowledge of God and His Word, without, however, persecuting anyone because of his faith."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Hey, welcome to the program. Mike Levins here, 1180 WFIL. It's a new day. You can go ahead and call in. That's at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. And welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us this morning. It is a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for joining us on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday morning. And now we're getting into the lighter part of our program. We just had a wonderful speaker on with us, David Long, telling us about Restoration America 2015. That's going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday on July 4th weekend. It's going to be all about abortion. And David B. Wright, who's co-founder of 40 Days to Life, is going to be a keynote speaker on Sunday at noon right at Independence Hall in here, Philadelphia, and good old Philly. So make sure you go ahead and get out to that. But we've got a good one today. I'm feeling it today. Are you feeling it today? I don't know. We may all be feeling it today. I'm definitely feeling it. It is time for your daily face bomb. In good old CNN fashion, yes, they are our daily facepalm for the day. A
tweet that the Queen of England is dead. Oh, yes, you heard me right. The Queen Elizabeth herself has died. And that was first put out by Amin Kiawa, a reporter working for BBC's Urdu language service, posted on Twitter that the 89-year-old had been taken to the hospital. A second tweet said that she had died. However, this was picked up by media outlets, including CNN News Source and German newspaper Bild, when NBC News alerted Buckingham Palace about the tweets. A spokesman said that the Queen was not only alive, but carrying out public engagements. Oops, it is not clear exactly how the mistake happened, but the UK's publicly funded broadcaster was staging an internal drill on Wednesday to examine its readiness for the Queen's death, a routine event staged by many news organizations. Apparently, she tweeted, "Silly prank. Apologies for upsetting anyone." But that could not repair the damage done to the journalism efforts of CNN News Source and German newspaper Bild that the Queen had, in fact, died. That's your daily facepalm for today. A little dancer. Go. Of this music. Only CNN would jump on that. I bag on them so much. Don't worry, the queen is not dead. She is alive and well. Of course, it was picked up by CNN and others. I can't believe that they would. See, that's the rush that we want to publicize things. That's your daily facepalm for the day. Hope you enjoyed it. You know, there are cats in America that are apparently being abused. That's right. You heard me right. They're apparently being abused. Yes. Because have you met Sprinkles before? Well, Sprinkles is a domestic short hair who has a typically tiny frame, and she is abused because poor Sprinkles weighs 32 pounds. Some people would say, well, if that's abuse, I want some of that. 32 pounds weighs the 4-year-old male feline and apparently now is on the road to recovery after being placed on a strict diet and exercise regime. I would love to know how much money is going into that. I would be appalled to find out that taxpayer money is going into it. But you would think, now that this is from mirror.co.uk. And the Queen Elizabeth article is from NBC News, by the way. But mirror.co.uk, this is an American feline. Apparently, it's being treated by staff at SOS Sea Isle City Cats in New Jersey. Yeah. The primary caregiver said that this is an obscenely overweight cat and she could not walk when we got her. She's still unable to roll over. So the caregiver right now got the cat in the current condition, did not get the cat to its current condition. Apparently, though, that is an abusive situation for this poor, poor feline. So now it's going to have to go on a diet. And now is going to have to undergo recovery. That's what we're calling helping a cat lose weight. Anyway, I thought that would be an interesting thing to bring to your attention. Also, another thing to bring to your attention, I don't know if you've heard about the Supreme Court ruling in favor of a man convicted of posting threatening messages on Facebook. This comes from CNN. Here's a chance for CNN to redeem itself. But apparently, this is a Pennsylvania man. So this hits a little closer to home. Anthony Ellenis. He posted several violent messages on his social media account after his wife left him. He claimed he was an artist who turned to rap lyrics for therapeutic purposes to help him cope with depression. And here's some of his more famous Facebook quotes. There's one way to love you, but 1,000 ways to kill you. That's positive coping, apparently, for depression in today's world. Quote, enough elementary schools in a 10-mile radius to initiate the most heinous school shooting ever imagined. Unquote. He was convicted for violating a federal threat statute. But he apparently appealed his conviction to the Supreme Court. These are the same people who are going to rule on homosexual marriage in 2 weeks. Or at least they've already ruled, I believe, and now we're just going to catch wind of it. He appealed to the Supreme Court, arguing that the government should have been required to prove he actually intended to make a threat before sending him to jail for 44 months. Oh, you're just upset that you're getting consequences for the careless posts you had on Facebook. No matter how depressed you may have been, you crossed a line. Instead, the jury was told the standard was whether a, quote, reasonable person would have understood the words to be a threat. I don't know about you, but if he was writing this to his wife right after she left him, oh, I would think that would be a little bit more than a threat. I mean, listen to this. There's one way to love you, but 1,000 ways to kill you. No one can see the link there. No one can see that if he never posted things like this before in the past, and all of a sudden he just posts something like this because his wife leaves him, that there's not some interesting conclusions you could come to? Apparently not. So, the Supreme Court has now ruled in favor of this man under protection of freedom of speech, which everyone is all for, right? We're all for freedom of speech, unless it's hate speech. Unless it's something that we disagree with wholeheartedly, you are free to say whatever you want. You're not free to say anything. I mean, the argument that you could say fire in a crowded movie theater and that that should be legal, but then when you think about saying that and how it could possibly injure or even kill people if there was a stampede out of the doors of that theater, you look at things like this and you go, well, there's a reason we have federal threat statutes, and that's why. But he's apparently fine. Supreme Court's ruled it. 610-539-TALK. 610-539-8255 to call in. Let your voice be heard on this morning. In court briefs, Solicitor General Donald B. Verrilli defended the conviction. And what he said was, quote, he was aware of the meaning and context of his Facebook posts, and those posts communicated a serious expression of an intent to do harm, Verrilli wrote. Verrilli said there was no comparison between Elonis' threats and the protected speech of commercial rap artists, made it in a, quote, very different context. I hate rap because of its absolute vile content and inappropriate content and demeaning of women, just everything you could think of. I think that there's a lot. I think rap as an art is actually fairly interesting and enjoy it, but a lot of the, I guess, what I could call secular rap out there, I just hate. I do like Lecrae. He's a Christian rapper. He's very good, very eloquent. One of the most popular, if not the most popular, Christian rapper out there. But secular rap, I think it's basically nothing short of refuse. You could call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. Guess who was arguing in support of Elonis? None other but the ACLU, saying words are slippery things. He said that a statute that limits speech without regard to the speaker's intended meeting runs the risk of punishing First Amendment rights.
For a healthy treat today, why not head down to TCBY Frozen Yogurt? It's located in the King of Prussia Mall, the Plaza section opposite L.L. Bean. They have shakes and smoothies and hot fudge sundaes and, yes, even mint chocolate chunk frozen yogurt. And if you tell them you're a listener of WFYL, receive a 10% discount. So today, why not? Head on down to TCBY Frozen Yogurt located in the King of Prussia Mall.
Join me, Carla Dedessi, here every Friday from 8 until 9 for Your Family Matters. This is going to be an epic year, 2015, for Your Family Matters. We are going to continue to protect your family, your faith, while we are having fun. We're going to bring cutting-edge news to you, the current events, current resources and tools that are going to give you the best family ever. So strap on your seatbelt and join me for this wild ride in 2015 on Your Family Matters every Friday morning. Don't miss us.
First Thursday of each month from 6 to 8 p.m. is Thrifty Thursdays at Homeworks Premium Thrift, and it's the place to be. Please come join us. Browse our 12,000 square foot store for gently used items of all kinds, apparel, household items, books, furniture, and appliances. We offer free pickup for large loads, appliances, and furniture. Have a question about life or need prayer? Ask us. We'll be glad to talk or pray with you. We are located in Douglasville on Route 422, and we are open until 8 p.m. every first Thursday. Visit us at homeworkspremiumthrift.org and on Facebook. Looking forward to seeing you.
In Job chapter 1, we're told about a man of great integrity whose name was Job. Consistent in his walk before God, God proclaimed him perfect. Honorable in his life before others, his friends proclaimed him upright. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking, are you like Job? God trusted him so strongly that he challenged the devil to buffet him, even in times of enormous testing when his children were killed, possessions stolen, friends proved themselves unfriendly, and a discouraging wife told him to curse God and die. Job's faith didn't waver. In fact, because his heart was right with God, he could say with full confidence in the face of terrible calamity, naked came I into the world, and naked will I go out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the end, God healed Job, restored twice what he had lost, but only after Job prayed for his friends and thanked God for his trials. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking, can God trust you like he did Job? Will you respond like Job?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Welcome back to the program, 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. Mike Levins here. Thank you so much for joining us. And you could call at this number. You got it? Here we go. 610-539-8255. You ready for it? Here it is. 610-539-TALK. Now, we were just talking about the Supreme Court ruling on this whole Facebook issue. This man apparently made threats, at least what were plainly seen as threats, veiled threats, after his wife left him. He was convicted on it because of the context. He claimed that they were rap, I guess, lyrics, if you could call them that. Here's one. There's one way to love you, but a thousand ways to kill you. Oh, that just tickles your heartstrings, doesn't it? Apparently assumed or called it a way of dealing with his depression that he had after his wife left him, and therefore excusable. Well, the Supreme Court just ruled in favor of him. Another unprecedented, to say the least, ruling from the Supreme Court in order to protect freedom of speech. The one arguing on this man, his name, he's a Pennsylvania man, by the way, if you didn't know that. Alonis is his last
name. And he is now, or he had, the ACLU. None other than the ACLU itself was arguing for him. John P. Elwood, who's Alonis' lawyer, stressed that he was only exercising his freedom of speech. Quote, "The First Amendment's basic command is that the government may not prohibit the expression of an idea simply because society finds it offensive or disagreeable." That's according to a CNN article. Well, that would be the case, but you see, when it threatens someone else's safety, that's where you run out of First Amendment freedom. So, the ACLU is the one who is in support of Elonis. They said, quote, "Words are slippery things." He said that a statute that limits speech, quote, "without regard to the speaker's intended meaning, runs the risk of punishing protected First Amendment expression simply because it is, quote, crudely or zealously expressed." So, apparently it wasn't his intended meaning. We know that. Somehow, jumping into this man's mind, that it wasn't his intended meaning to actually threaten his wife. Anthony D. Elonis is his name. Supreme Court just ruled in favor of him. The latest from Russia has they have an interesting situation for themselves in Ukraine. Ukraine's economy is collapsing, by the way. They are on the hinges of possibly defaulting on many of their loans that have been taken out and that have been given by the IMF, but also from private creditors as well. And when that happens, I do not believe that Ukraine will simply dissolve into nothingness. I believe that the UN will actually come to its aid. But don't think for a moment that Russia is not smelling blood in the water. So do not underestimate what Russia is going to be doing. Don't underestimate it at all. And because right now, and this is just coming out of CNN here, heavy artillery fire being reported around Donetsk City in eastern Ukraine, in what observers described as some of the worst fighting in the months since a shaky ceasefire was declared. Don't think Russia doesn't smell blood in the water. And they're going to take advantage of it. The Ukrainian General Command Media Office said that separatists fired heavy artillery from Donetsk City toward Marinka, if I'm saying that correctly, I hope so, early Wednesday. This city has been controlled by Ukrainian government forces and sits on a strategically vital western highway to the city's west, where checkpoints mark the end of separatist-controlled territory. The general command said 200 separatist militants attacked Ukrainian positions, and there was an exchange of fire for 6 hours. It denied reports that 25 Ukrainian soldiers were wounded or that their positions were surrounded. Well, this flies in the face of the ceasefire, doesn't it? I'm convinced ceasefires are just so people can maneuver their troops into correct ways to attack again until there's a formal cessation of hostilities. That's all ceasefire is. We need a break because you have us in check right now, because it's all just a big game of chess. You have us in check right now, so we're going to declare ceasefire so we can move around and defend ourselves, and then we'll start up fighting again. I think everyone knows that. Eduard Buzarin, a spokesman for the separatist Donetsk People's Republic, confirmed there were clashes in Marinka and that the fighting began because of, quote, provocations by Ukrainian forces. So he said, she said kind of deal. They did it. No, they did it. No, they did it. He added that Ukrainian forces shelled the Petrovsky and Kharovsky districts in Donetsk City overnight. Residents of Donetsk City, though, who did not want to be named for security reasons, told CNN that they could hear outgoing and incoming shelling loudest in the western district of Petrovsky and northwestern district of Kirovsky. Social media reports from residents also suggested street fighting in the town of Marinka. A European diplomat speaking anonymously because of the sensitivity of the issue told CNN that early reports did suggest a fresh offensive by the separatists toward Marinka, using heavy weapons, including Grad rockets. The diplomat added, "There were also overnight reports of heavy shelling in Donetsk City itself, which is held by the separatists. It will take a while to verify," the diplomat said. Quote, "But if this is the case, it could be a major, major ceasefire violation." That's the latest from Ukraine, reading the CNN article. And the ceasefire hasn't held up at all. And I don't think anyone expected it to. But Russia's going to take advantage wherever they can. They will try if Ukraine defaults, because they are in a full-fledged economic depression. If Ukraine defaults, they're probably just going to step up the military attack even more. They default on their loans because their money is, it's so worthless right now. Because of all the pressure, because of the fighting, and because they were so tied to Russia, I believe. So now they're trying to break away, but that's going to come at economic cost. So that's how I believe the situation is going to play out. But we'll see. We will see. Of course, though, we are seeing that the conflict has gotten to such a point now where any chance of diplomacy, it's almost like we get into this death spiral of fighting that just continues to go farther and farther and fuels itself, and then eventually there's just no coming back. I don't know if we're at that point, but that's the program for today, though. The latest from Ukraine, I always want to finish on that because I believe it's an important issue. Remember, though, whatever I read, whatever comes through this microphone, whatever you hear, that the answer to all of this, one thing, one person, that's Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to be back tomorrow at 7 to 9 on It's a New Day.
This is Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, and I want to invite you to listen to our new daily live call-in program, Stand in the Gap Today, each Monday through Friday at noon, right here on WFYL. There's never a shortage of topics surrounding how our faith and freedom are being attacked on every front. This program will equip Christians to stand up for truth and to impact our culture for Christ rather than just being an idle bystander. Join this battle for truth and listen to Stand in the Gap Today every Monday through Friday at noon, right here on WFYL.